Good morning.
Thank you for that prayer. That was precious. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. I really appreciate that. And thank you guys for letting me take some of your time today to share God's Word. I'm so glad to have James and Colleen Nesbitt here with us, part of our Alabama cohort. And, of course, Doc and Gene Shell. I call Doc my bishop. He'll keep you straight. You know what I mean? I love that man. He's been a great blessing to so many people in the state of Alabama, and we honor him and thank God for him. And Pastor Eddie and Mickey and this church, we love you guys. It's got a beautiful building, and y'all's worship, I wish y'all loved Jesus more. Y'all are radical. I love it. It's just powerful to watch everybody worship so radically. And thank you for letting me spend some time with you yesterday and today. And we're excited about that and excited to get to share what God's doing in our lives and through His Word. And so we thank you for the blessings and thank you for letting us take a bit to share with you this morning. The conversation I want to start with you today, if it's okay, is along the lines of transformation. And, you know, it's just been exciting to see over the last 25 years. I told the early service, I'm going to try to give you in the next few minutes about 25 years of learning that God has over time evolved in our lives to teach us about transformation. Because I don't know about you, but one of my main goals is for my life to be transformed, right? I mean, I don't want to just love Jesus or even worship Jesus. You know, I was telling Joshua this morning, I love worshiping Jesus, don't get me wrong. But I can't find one scripture where actually Jesus commands us to worship Him. He actually commanded us to follow Him. And it's not just about, and I love worship, don't get me wrong, but it's not just about worshiping Jesus, it's about following Jesus. And I don't believe that Jesus came just to save us. I believe that Jesus came to show us how to live. Not just for later on, but right now, right here, to show us how to live a transformative life here in the earth, right? And so I want my children to be transformed. I want my grandchildren. I want my generations to be transformed. I want my church to be transformed. And I want my city to be transformed. And I want the state of Alabama to be transformed. I want the United States of America to be transformed. I believe nations are going to be saved and transformed according to the Word of God, right? And so it's not just about worship. It's not just about gathering, but it's about transformation. I think Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we might prove the will of God is good and perfect and acceptable and offer ourselves as living sacrifices unto God, which is well-pleasing in His sight by His mercies, of course. And so I want to today not just talk to you or preach to you a message to help you, because I feel the Spirit in a significant way that I'm amongst mature believers. God has used your leadership team very powerfully. I feel maturity in the room, and I realize that you're a people that are ready for mobilization. I was looking at your pastor's book, Let's Change the World, I think is the title of it, right, Pastor Eddie? And it, part of one of the chapters are about mobilization and about being a transformational agent. And so hopefully today the Holy Spirit won't just do something that will transform our lives, but He will give you tools. That's my desire, my mandate, I believe, to put some tools in your tool bag so that you can be an agent of transformation. So touch your neighbor, tell him, I believe the Lord's going to use you. Tell him, I believe the Lord's going to use you. I didn't feel too much faith, so I'm going to try that one more time. Say, tell somebody else, I feel like the Lord's going to use you. Tell them. Now, you got to be careful with that. All right, I'll just tell you, you got to be careful with it, because I was walking down the street one day praying, and I was going through a real tough time of this folks I was ministering to, and they were using me, like really using me. And I said, Lord, these people are using me. And they were. They were just taking total advantage of me. And I said, Lord, they're using me. And the Lord said, I thought that's what you prayed. I said, what do you mean? He said, you prayed, use me. He said, if I'm providing what they're using, why are you worried about it? And so I don't know about you, but I don't mind the Lord pouring me out for somebody else, because I want to see people around me transformed. And I also want to see the Bible, the book, I want to see right now what I read about in the Bible. I believe that we're a people that, I believe we are the generation that are going to be like the book of Acts instead of saying, oh, I wish I was on earth when Peter, James, and John were here, that they're going to be in heaven saying, man, I wish we was back on earth with these guys because they are moving right now, right? I believe that we're not diminishing. God is not diminishing His church. That this is not the plan of God. My Bible says when Jesus comes back, He's not coming back for a weak, sick, broke, beaten down church. He's coming back for a glorious church, an overcoming church, a victorious church, full of sons and daughters of God that know who they are and are manifesting the unusual miracles and the manifest presence of Jesus. It's Romans 8 that says something like this, says the whole earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. That's what the earth is groaning for. That's what these wars are about. And may I just mention Israel, just for a second. I want to thank you as a congregation. When we were here with All In Alabama, you were very generous and sowed a large, generous seed into the mission we were doing in Israel to align Alabama with Israel. Bev and I were supposed to have just left Israel coming home. We were supposed to have been there the last 2 weeks. And the war started the day before we were supposed to go. And the rabbi we were working there has a beautiful place in the Judean hills called a house of prayer for all nations. And so as soon as the war broke out, fortunately, we were able to take this large donation along with our donations and send it. And your donation now is feeding women and children in Israel whose husbands are fighting in the war. And so you can expect a major blessing, I do believe, to come back from that. And so this war and all this stuff in Israel, what is this? People ask me all the time. They say, Ken, are we living in the end times? I'm like, how old are you? They're like, 80. I'm like, yes, you are in the end time, right? Right? Well, yes. If you're for 80, we're probably in the end times. But we don't want to get too caught up in that, but I don't believe it's the end. I believe it's the beginning of the end. These birth pains now are what God is talking to us about, preparing us for this time, this space that we're living in the earth where God is raising up sons and daughters. It says the glory of God is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Now let me give you a quick example of what I believe God's saying to us, the church, because it says, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I believe we've got to understand the concept of the mothering and fathering nature of God in the church. I was asked this by a real scholar and a spiritual scientist, in my opinion, my friend Arthur Burke. He said, Ken, is the church male or female? And I had to think a minute, but I thought, okay, bride of Christ, that's probably, I said female. He said, exactly. He said, the kingdom of God. What is that, male or female? I had to think a minute. I said, well, probably male. He said, exactly right. And he laid this out for me, which I thought was so powerful because it so resonated with me, that the church, as we know it, right, as what we're doing today, is the mother. And you can't be born into the kingdom without the mother. So we have to have a church who is the mother aspect of receiving and birthing, right, children of God into the kingdom and receiving people from the world who God loves to birth them into the church, which it allows them to enter the kingdom of God. And just like in the natural world, you need a mother and a father, right, to bring children into the world and to properly mature them. So at the same time, as the church is the church, we also then have to embrace not just the church. We gather, we worship, we do church things, but we also have to embrace the kingdom. Because the kingdom then is the church as the mother is moving the goalpost towards spiritual maturity as we nurture and equip and stretch the capacity of the sons and daughters to learn and receive and to be fed. But how do you know as you mature, you get to the point you actually feed yourself? We have to have both working at the same time because we're continually adding to the family, you see, that has to be fed. But there's a group of us within the church that we have to have a father now, that we have to have that father aspect of God, that we're not just children and we're not just birthed and we're not just being nurtured and cared for, which is awesome. But then we begin to mature. How many of you are parents in the room today and have children? You know, you don't want them to stay young, right? You want them to grow and mature intellectually and physically and spiritually to the point that they actually no longer need you. Why? Because you've multiplied your authority. You've taken your life and the knowledge and the anointings and the things you have, and you've given them to your children, and now your authority instead of a husband and wife, now a husband and wife and a child, a husband and wife and two children, a husband and wife, two children, grandchildren. Next thing you know, spiritual authority is being multiplied through you. See, when Jesus came to commission us, it was actually a recommissioning. The first commission was a man and a woman, but God said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the whole earth. And so the church, I believe, we're in a kingdom mindset where the church is entering a revelation to where, yes, we still gather, we still worship, we still nurture the young, we still bring people to the Lord, we still feed them the milk of the Word of God, but then there's a group among us that begins to step into maturity, and they're like, yes, you keep feeding them, but I'm going to start feeding myself, because not only are I'm going to work, you're going to work for me, I'm going to work with you. And we're going to grow ourselves into this mighty army of God that's in the earth where sons and daughters are manifesting His glory and His goodness. And so we really believe that our mandate, our message of transformation is to give you tools to help you raise up sons and daughters of God. So touch your neighbor and say, I'm about to be a good parent in the kingdom of God. Tell them, I'm about to be a good parent in the kingdom of God. Amen? And so the principles of transformation God gave us over the last 25 years, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit allowed us to make that into a workbook, which is called the Transformation Workbook, that, by the way, is now being implemented in all 67 counties of Alabama. Somebody teaching this transformational model, this kingdom discipleship, so that we can begin to mature sons and daughters of God throughout our state that are functioning, fully functioning as sons and daughters of God. What does that look like? Just before I jump into the message, what does that look like? Well, it looks like a lady named Miss Patty. I was on the phone with her driving up here as I drove through Butler County on the way here from down south. I called her. She got a hold of the concept that she's a son, daughter of God, right, with authority. And she was caring for a sick husband, and she said, what can I do for God? I'm kind of housebound. And it was during the COVID time. Holy Spirit said, go out on your porch and ring your dinner bell and pray. She has a dinner bell. So she said, really? I said, yes. She goes out. She rings the bell and prays. Next thing you know, she said, in our territory, if you ring a dinner bell, you're either in trouble or need something. So she said, both my neighbors called and said, what are you ringing the bell for? She said, I don't know. God said, ring the bell and pray. They said, can we come over with you? She said, yeah. So they came over and they prayed. So that was the first time. The next time she did it, neighbors rang again, grew. In about a month, she had 60 people in her territory praying, ringing the bell and praying at 7 o'clock on Monday night, praying for their territory, praying for Butler County, praying for Alabama, praying for the nation. Next thing you know, she said, God, what I do next? She said, give them all bells and send them home and tell them to ring their own bell and pray. So she said, now on 7 o'clock on Monday night, you come through Butler County, you hear the bells ringing and the people praying because, come on somebody, because God is moving. So this is what this looks like. It looks different for everybody, but it's everybody doing their portion. And so these transformational concepts are designed to help us step into that. They're based on identity, alignment, empowerment, and assignment. Four transformational concepts from the Word of God. And I'll go quickly to try to walk us through these, but it's important that you lay hold of that as we step into this new season of raising up sons and daughters of God. The first one, of course, identity produces legitimacy. This is so important for us to know who we are. And your identity, as great as Grace House is, as great as Word Alive International Outreach is in Coldwater, where we're from, our identity is not in where we go to church. Our identity is who are you in God, right? Because it has to be legitimate, because our legitimacy has to come from the Father. And when we all get our own legitimacy, then we don't compete with one another, we complete one another. Because we're legitimate. I am so good at being me. I would be terrible being Eddie, right? You would be terrible trying to be somebody else. But can we just be honest? Most of us spend most of our life trying to be somebody else. When actuality, God created you and designed you perfectly to be who you are with the gifts that He's already put in you so that you can have an expression of who God called you to be in the earth. You are a word from God. Your mom and dad made your body, but Jesus put the Spirit in you. God put the Spirit in you. Isaiah 55, you're a word from God and you will not return void. You will accomplish everything that God told you you would accomplish on the earth. So lean over and touch your neighbor right on the belly and tell him, you are a word from God. Tell him, you are a word from God. Touch somebody else and say, manifest. Touch somebody else. I'm going to be touching you a lot the next few minutes. But this identity is important. Now, we know the Holy Spirit has gifts, right? This Corinthians, right? The nine gifts of Spirit. Jesus has gifts. There's to the body of Christ, apostle, prophet. But God the Father has gifts. And these are Romans 12, and these are the creative, redemptive gifts that are in every human being. Why is this important? Because every human being is valuable. Every human being on the earth has been created by God and are valuable, and He sent you here as a word to be manifested. So my understanding of being born again is not becoming someone else. My understanding of being born again is actually being who God created me to be. Being born again is not me being something or someone else. It's actually getting back to my Genesis. Who did God send me here to be? I was a drug addict, but God didn't send me here to be a drug addict. That was a flaw that the enemy put on me. It wasn't who I, even when I was a drug addict, it wasn't who I was. And so many of us get caught in the identity of what we do instead of who we are. Jesus, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," before He did anything for God. What happens? The first thing the devil does is try to tempt Him to say, "Are you really a son of God?" And so these gifts are so important, these redemptive gifts. Let me hit them really quick. There's seven of them. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, organizing, mercy. All seven in Romans 12 listed in order. And they're in order in every seven of the Bible. 7 days of creation, 7 lampstands of the menorah, 7 pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, 7 churches in Revelation, 7 last sayings of Christ on the cross. All these gifts are there in order. 200 sets of them in the Bible. I never knew about this. Did y'all? I was born at night, but it wasn't last night, right? And I was trying to figure this thing out. But this is God's intentionality. He's not random. He's not some baby daddy. He's not just spitting humans out with no rhyme or reason. He didn't send anybody to the earth without a DNA of destiny and a DNA of purpose. You're not here by accident. That's why every person in this room is valuable, because of the gift of God that's on the inside of you. And that's what makes you act the way you do. Touch your neighbor and say, "I've been wondering about that." But it's why your husband responds a certain way and your wife responds another way. Your children can't be raised the same. They're all different. That's why it says raise up a child in the way she'd go. Not just being a believer. What were they created to do? Find out that. Now raise them that way according to their design. And that brings legitimacy. Now, let me just give you a quick story, kind of let you find out who you are. All right, in case you don't know. Let's say we were at a party. And there's prophets, servants, teachers, encouragers, givers, mercies, organizers. We had a great meal. Somebody brings a cake out, and all of a sudden they spill the cake. Here's how each gift responds. All you prophets in the room, if you're in that place, you've had a good meal, somebody spills a cake, your response is, "I knew that was going to happen." When I came in, I saw the furniture was all out of whack, out of order, and I knew eventually somebody's going to trip and fall and get an accident was going to happen. You servants, it ain't even your house, and you've already found a towel, and you're under the table cleaning it up, right? You teachers, you got a pen and a napkin. You're drawing a diagram with the details to show them how to rearrange everything so that in the future that don't ever happen again. You're all in the details. The encourager, that's me. I just don't want the party to stop. So I'm like, "Oh, don't worry about that. Did you hear the joke about such and such and such and such? Because I don't want the party to end." Right? The giver. Well, they've already fixed it. They jumped in the car and they've already headed to buy a cake and bring it back. Like, "I'll fix it. I'll just go buy another cake." The organizers, you're telling everybody else what to do. We call you bossy, but actually you're just a ruler organizer. So you're saying, "Hey, you go buy a cake, you clean it up, you draw a diagram," and they're pointing. The mercy motivated, you know that one. They're over there hugging the person lying, saying, "Oh, I've spilt so many cakes," because they don't want them to feel bad about it. So if you can begin to see kind of the glimpse of who you may be, now here's what's exciting. There's a principle of design that matches your gift in the Word of God. And as soon as you learn that, you will be transformed. And there's also a curse at work on your gift trying to stop it. And if you don't know what that curse is, you don't know how to break it. But God has given us the understanding to help you find out what that principle is and how to break that curse so you can step into your destiny and your identity. I got a QR code I think I can throw up there right now. If you want to go ahead and do that, you can take your cell phone out right now and take a picture of that. And when this meeting's over, you can go to there. It's free of charge. It'll give you a test. It takes about 5 minutes to answer the questions. It will spit you out your results by email, and it will tell you the top 3% of who you may be. And it's really cool and really powerful. So I go ahead and just take a minute and take your cell phone out and click that and maybe go ahead and order a pizza. But this is a very powerful tool I want to put in your hands. And now not only for you, but use it for your children. This past holidays, I had all my grandchildren do it. Why? I need to know who they are. Because I'm not praying anymore, Lord, bless them. I'm praying according to their design. This one lady in our tribe here in Alabama, at Thanksgiving, had her grandsons do it. They're 14 and 13, and they're just having Thanksgiving meal. And the 14-year-old took it, come to find out, he's prophet, and his name's Jeremiah. And he, without any knowledge, at Thanksgiving, after he took the test, told his parents, "Well, y'all didn't know this, but I've had an encounter with God." And the glory of God filled their room at Thanksgiving because a young man got permission to say who he actually was. We've got a guy in Texas that's using this material at the Little League baseball. He's in charge of all the coaches, and he's telling the parents, "I can help you identify what the spiritual gifts of your children are so you know how to raise them." And now the whole Little League is being swept with the concept of these children have spiritual gifts from God the Father. Kingdom stuff happening. So touch your neighbor again, saying, "We're about to find out who we are." Two, and quickly, alignment. So once we step into legitimacy and identity, we move into alignment. Alignment's very powerful. You can take two pieces of metal, same stuff in both of them, but one's a powerful magnet and one's just a dead piece of metal. The only difference is the atoms in the magnet are aligned. What does that tell me? You already have everything you need on the inside of you. It's just got to get aligned with God. You know, the kingdom of God is not here nor there. It is within you. And all you have to do is get an alignment with heaven and with God, and that stuff will start coming alive in you. But what most people don't know is heaven's got a currency, and heaven has a calendar. Now, I swear I wish I had studied in school. I only went to 12th grade, unfortunately, and never got a college education. But fortunately, I went to a high school in Alabama called Oxford. So now as I travel around the world, people say, "Where were you educated?" And I'm like, "Oxford." And they're like, "Wow." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know." But I hate to tell you my ignorance, but I didn't realize this moon was circling. But y'all know that thing's moving quickly. Every 28 and a half days. I thought it was random. I just thought, "Oh, full moon." No, it's cycling. The whole Bible is based on the moon, not the sun. The Gregorian calendar we live on in our culture is not the biblical calendar. So a lot of us just aren't aligned. You're doing the right thing, but at the wrong time. I realized I was fasting when I was supposed to be feasting. And feasting when I was supposed to be fasting. Bev and I took our teenagers on spring break, and it was like every devil that wasn't busy was there, was after us. I said, "Lord, what in the world's going on? You know, is it because all this nonsense is going on?" He said, "No." He said, "You're at the wrong place at the wrong time." I said, "Why?" He said, "Spring's not the time to vacation, it's the time to war." He said, "The kings went out to war in the spring." He said, "You should be interceding and praying, not vacation. There's another time of the year that you vacation." And by the way, God has 25 holidays on his calendar. Every other week you got a party. Touch your neighbor and say, "Don't you love a God who knows how to party?" Tell him. Come on, somebody. But there's a weekly portal called a Sabbath. But we don't ever hear anybody talking about Sabbath breakers. But it's damaging your health. Because your body is a cycle. Your body cycles every month, and if you don't get in the right cycle, you won't live optimal health. It's not a law, it's a gift. Man was not made for Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. God instituted a day a week that we could get a fresh download of heaven to keep our strength and our energy and our anointing flowing. But then He gives us a monthly holiday, which is called the New Moon or Rosh Chodesh. That's when you're supposed to hear the prophets. Every time you see the thumbnail, moon come around, go read the Bible. When the lady came to a prophet, Elijah the prophet, about her son being dead, he said, why is she coming? It's not the new moon. They were accustomed every new moon to go hear, what's God saying? So every month now, we stop at the new moon and say, hold on, what is God saying right now this month? There's 12 trees, each bearing fruit for the healing of the nations each month. There's a blessing in every month God's trying to get on you. All you got to do is pause and get it. And then you got three feasts a year. These aren't Jewish feasts. They're the Lord's feast. And He said in the millennial reign, when Christ is back on earth, anybody that doesn't keep the feast will have no reign. I didn't know any of this. I was actually really upset when I realized all this was out there and I had been living my whole life without it. The whole principle is Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added unto you. That's why He gave us the tithe and the first fruits. There's two things that stop you from doing the will of God. Time and money. God said, I got the answer for both. Honor me first with your money. Honor me first with your time, and you'll have plenty of both. All these things will be added unto you. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm about to get into another place. Tell him, I'm about to get into another place. Touch somebody else and say, I'm not sure what he's saying, but I feel it. I don't have a clue what he's talking about, but I'm feeling it. Right? It's true, though. Align it with heaven. Right? God doesn't want us broke. God didn't want us not having enough time. The first thing God called holy in the Bible was time. Sanctified it. And so if we will align with God and His kingdom currency of giving and receiving and His kingdom calendar, every blessing that God has will start coming your way. God doesn't want you just enough. He wants you living in an abundance so that you always, having all sufficiency in every area, can abound to every good work. All right? Y'all, we still okay? Oh, I'm hurrying. Third. So you got identity, alignment, empowerment. This is Matthew 16 where Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you, touch your neighbor and say, talking about you now. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm tired of you touching me. I know y'all are always getting lazy. Why do I have you touch and say that? Because I believe you're making decrees. It's not just trying to me think what I'm going to say next. Like you're making decrees. Like God's given you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound. And that's authority. This is kingdom authority. Now why is this important? Jesus only mentioned the word church twice in the whole Bible. Told nobody how to plant one or how to build one. Why? That word church is actually the word ecclesia, which is not a spiritual term. It's not a religious term. It's a governmental term. Rome sent an ecclesia to Palestine, and their job was to cause Palestine to look just like Rome. The kingdom of Rome invaded the kingdom of Palestine, and the kingdom of Palestine became the kingdom of Rome. And the way that would happen is because the emperor gave them all the authority militarily and economically to make that happen, even though they were a small group. That's why you have the keys. And our job is not to pray thy kingdom go, it's pray thy kingdom come. See, I've lived most of my life thinking this is what church was. We get people saved out of the world, right? Like fish, that's the emblem, right? And our church, I got a nice building like y'all do, and our church is like a refrigerator ship. So we get all these fish in our ship, and we try to keep them saved and clean until the big refrigerator ship comes one day and takes all of our ship into the big ship and we all go to the big aquarium in the sky and live happily ever after. Well, if that's true and that's all the church is supposed to be, then at baptism we should just hold you and bypass all the ships and go straight to the big aquarium in the sky. But how ludicrous is that? That's not the only thing that Jesus came to do, was so that we could live eternity. He came so that you and I could be agents of transformation and cause this world and this kingdom to become the kingdoms of our God. Come on, somebody. So the point is, you don't just go to church, you are the church. And now your validation, see, in our culture, I don't even tell people I'm a Christian anymore. I don't. Because there's too many things that means now. That can be way right, that can be way left, that can be so many things when you say I'm a Christian. And I started looking at the scripture. They didn't ever tell anybody they were Christians. Other people called them Christians. Why? These signs followed those who... I don't have to tell you who I am. You should be able to see who I am. Who is he? I don't know. He casts out devils, he heals the sick, and he does some powerful things. That's all I know. Christian is anointed one. People saw him, they said, I don't know, but he must be like that Christ guy because he's anointed. Come on. And so if you could dream with me what that looks like when we are the church, it's not just important what happens on Sunday. It's more important what we're doing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. This is what becomes important if we're going to have transformation. This, my home should be an altar. My home should, my children should watch me and Beverly pray around our kitchen table and see the manifest presence of Jesus manifest and the power of God show up. The most powerful service I've been in 35 years was Passover 2020 when we were locked in our houses. It was the first time, I think, since the Passover itself that we were in Passover. Locked in our houses with the blood on the door, believing for the plague to stop. Couldn't gather as a community. You know who was the first time in my Christian life in almost 40 years that I wasn't in a church service that Easter, that resurrection day? I was with Beverly, myself, our children, and our grandchildren. And man, we sat down and we got ready to eat. And my daughter-in-law sang a cappella. And the glory of God filled our house. And my sons took the scriptures and started reading them. And my grandchildren were weeping under the presence of God. And I said, this is what I've been wanting. This is that you too. I finally found what I've been looking for right here, right? When the true manifest presence of Jesus himself. I didn't have to tell my grandkids about Jesus. He manifested. So we got a hold of this, and now we're attempting to walk in this. We're not doing it great, but we're seeing first fruits. Bev and I were at Cracker Barrel recently. We're sitting there, we're about to have some coffee, and the waitress comes out, and we could tell something was wrong. We said, are you okay? She said, I'm grief-stricken. My husband died during COVID, and I just can't get over it. So Bev and I, before we had coffee, reached over and prayed for her. The Holy Spirit said, give her all your money. So we, I don't know what we had, $200 or $300 on us. We reached in, got it, put that in her hand. She starts crying, and the spirit of grief broke off her right there at Cracker Barrel. Next thing you know, she leaves back. Bev and I are like, well, that was powerful. And then she goes back in the kitchen. Next thing you know, the cook comes out. I said, can I help you? Yeah, that lady said you prayed for her and broke grief off her. She said, I'm addicted to meth. Will you pray for me? Next thing you know, the demon's shaking her in Cracker Barrel, and the demon of meth breaks off the... at Cracker Barrel. Next thing you know, four strangers next to us said, can we be next? I'm like, what do you mean? They said, we're not even from here. We're just traveling through, but our family is broken, and we're estranged from our children. Would you please pray God will put us back to... Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, people out there are dying and hungry for somebody to manifest the unusual presence of Jesus and the power of God. It's not offensive. It's powerful. It's attractive. And all we got to do is know who... I got the keys. They don't work just here in this building. They work everywhere I go. Where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of us. This is what's going to bring about transformation and mobilization and multiplication. You're not going to come to church in the future to hear a story. You're going to be bringing a story with you. Here's who got healed this week with my deal. Here's who got saved. Here's who got born again. Here's who got delivered. This is what's happening right now. All we got to do is step into it. Last and final. Identity, alignment, empowerment, assignment. We all got an assignment. What is our assignment? Well, number one, there's a problem. Touch your neighbor and say, there's a problem. People are blinded. According to Corinthians 4:4, they're blinded lest they should see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. They're not bad people. They're not evil people. They may do some bad things. They're just blinded. The solution is our assignment. We're called to open their eyes, Paul said, so that they might see that they can be delivered from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light and from the power of Satan to the power of God. Our job's not to convert them. Our job's to open their eyes. And we do that by removing the curse of blindness. How do you do that? Jesus tells us in Luke 9 and 10, it's amazing. In Luke 9, Dr. Ed Silvoso taught us this about how to shift the spiritual atmosphere. Luke 9, Jesus has a bad day, it looks like. The disciples can't even deal with a demon. Jesus gives them a real lashing. Like, you perverted, faithless, my vernacular, no good generation. How long must I be with you? And he gets the boy and casts the demon out of him. Well, if I was Jesus, I'd got rid of that 12, right, and go got me a new crew. But not Jesus. He took them on because he's loving and he's kind. He got another 70 and sent them again. Something shifts. They come back saying, even demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And it all was based on what he told them to do. He said, I need you to go. And wherever you enter, release your peace. Release your peace. What most people don't realize is peace is a weapon. Romans 16:20, the God of all peace will crush Satan under your feet. You've got the authority to walk in your workplace and your peace start knocking curses off everything around you. We think peace is what I need when I lay down at night to go to sleep. Well, the Bible says it's shoes. I don't put shoes on to go to bed. I put peace on when I'm going out in culture. And when I get out in culture, I release my peace. And it says you do that by blessing them. Bless. Fellowship. Here's what Jesus said. Speak peace to them. Release it. He said it's so powerful, you'll feel it leave you. And if they reject it, you'll feel it come back. Right? He said, if they receive it, stay there. Eat with them. Fellowship. Heal them. And then proclaim. The kingdom has come. Most of us have been trying to get people to accept Jesus before they know him. Hey, would you like to accept Jesus? Well, who is he? Well, he's this, this, and this. I don't know. Well, people ask, would you accept Doc Shell? Well, yes, because I know him. But if I didn't know him, well, how do I know that I'm accepting? But after he's blessed me, healed me, delivered me, I don't know anybody that's ever actually been touched by Jesus that rejected him. They may reject your opinion of him. And they may even reject you. But not Jesus. He's non-rejectable. Praise the Lord, Kent. I'm telling you the truth. Peace is a weapon. And if you'll release it, here's what set me free. Because it says some will reject it. The Lord said to me, he said, they're not rejecting you. They're not rejecting me. He said, they're not your assignment. Everybody's not your assignment, Kent. They're somebody else's assignment. So when somebody rejects my peace, they're not rejecting God or rejecting me. They're just not my assignment. Somebody else will get them. But if they accept my peace, my responsibility is to get engaged. Find out what's going on with them. Get involved in their lives. Anybody can act right for an hour on Sunday. But don't go to their house for a couple hours. You'll really find out who they are. And so when you get involved in somebody's life after they've received your peace and fellowship with them, you'll find out what area of their life is wrong, and then you've got the power to heal them. But see, unfortunately, a bad theology keeps us from doing this. An Old Testament concept is if clean touches unclean, we become unclean. New Testament theology is clean touches unclean, unclean gets clean. That's why Jesus ate with sinners. The problem with the church, we're not eating with sinners. I had a pastor in my city say, I can't fellowship with you of doctrinal differences. I said, well, how about this? I'm a sinner. I said, can you eat with me on that level? Because Jesus ate with sinners. Why? Jesus never viewed sin as a lawyer, in or out, right or wrong. He viewed it as a doctor, sick or well. And he said that the well don't need a physician. The sick need a doctor. We need to start having some church parties where we just eat with sinners. Almost every time Bev and I go to the restaurant, we always sit at the bar. That's where the sinners are. Man, we have a time. I sat there the other night at a bar in one city was in. The guy said, you're either one or two things, a bourbon salesman or a preacher. I said, well, Jesus did have new wine, you know. Oh, my God. I felt that. It's good. We need to lean right there. We're going to have to break out, guys. Huh? Here's a big one. Be reconciled to God. This is Paul talking to the church, not talking to sinners. Be reconciled to God. Why? God loves the world. That's why there is a church. The only reason we exist is because of God's love for the world. And so all we got to do is release our peace out here and watch God transform people's lives. I'm hurried. I'm getting carried away. I'm hurried. Bev gave me that look like, come on now, boy. Are we good? I'm about to land her. Bev and I was up in North Carolina doing some work with her family and some property, and we were moving a lot of debris and stuff off this property, and I hired a guy to help me. I didn't know him, never met him in my life. Hired a truck, hired a guy. We just got a hold of this, kind of shifting spiritual atmospheres. And we're riding in the truck together, got a load of stuff, and we pull up at the dump. You had to pay the dump, and they weigh you when you go in the dump. And this little girl was in the shack there. And as soon as I pulled up on those scales, the Spirit of God said, this is her day. He said, I'm going to need you to bless her and help her. I thought in my heart, all right. So I'm with a stranger, right? And we're in this big old truck together. We pull back up on the scales. I pull up. I said, ma'am, I reached my pocket. I said, this is $200. The Lord Jesus told me to give this to you because you got two children. And he wants you to know he's going to always provide for you and them. She goes, whoo, glory to God. I call it the Benjamin Franklin anointing. You know, she just, I'm talking about the glory of God hit her in that booth. She starts crying, praising God, thanking God that he spoke to her. And she had been praying, God, can you help me? And sent me in this straight. Glory of God fills the cab of this truck. That stranger that's with me is crying in tears. He said, my God, what is that? I've never experienced that. I said, that's the Holy Ghost that just blew through here. And he said, like, who is the Holy Ghost? I said, you'll find out. He's right here. And he touched her. Man, we just had a revival right there at the weighing scales. And he goes, woo! He said, I never found anything like that. I said, I got good news and bad news. He said, what was it? I said, the good news, she got blessed. Bad news, that's the $200 I was going to pay you to help me. He said, we're going to have to go back and get that. But it shifted the whole spiritual atmosphere. Try it. Try randomly blessing somebody and you see what God does. It'll shift. What it does, it takes the blinders off. They know God cares, God loves, God's concerned. And now they can see. It's that simple. Can you imagine what in the world could happen in our territory if we got secure in who we were? We got aligned with heaven, so we had plenty of resources to do what God wants us to do. We realized we got the keys. And we understand that all we have to do is step out in culture and begin to bless people and encourage people. it's not always about giving money. Sometimes it's just a hug. Sometimes it's just a word. Sometimes it's just to be blessed. Right? Sometimes it's just a piece of encouragement for somebody. And I promise you, if you could see the ripple effect of that, it's a vibration. If you can see with me in the Spirit, it's not just, it's a vibration you release spiritually that shakes demons off of people. Giving breaks curses. For God so loved the world, He gave. That's what broke the curse. So every time I act in that, Jesus, in one act of generosity on the cross, released a vibration that is still vibrating throughout the atmosphere of the earth today. People are still being affected today from something He did 2,000 years ago when He released that vibration of transformation that floods the earth. And all you and I got to do is step into that vibration. Every time I give a blessing, I'm releasing the power of the cross in somebody's life, and they're free. And if they're my assignment, I start doing life with them. I love this guy, Roger. Oh, Roger, I met Roger, Doc's friend. Doc moved, where's Roger? He's been encouraging me the whole weekend I've been here. He's early guy. He's Doc. He was Doc's neighbor. Oh, Doc got him turned on. Doc's been moving in this, right? Roger's part of this church because Doc said something kind one day to a neighbor. It's that simple. But our culture is fighting this because it wants us to be us four no more. But it's not about that. It's about getting out here and allowing God to use us as salt and light and transform our homes, our lives, our cultures, our territories, our schools, everything by the power of God. Let me show you one last slide. 80% of culture lives on this slide, this graph. 80% of our culture lives in shame, guilt, fear, or anger. 80%. We have found that one of these principles alone begins to move them exponentially down this line. That red line we know as the cross begins to move them into courage and gratitude and joy and abundance and peace and ultimately enlightenment, knowing who God is. All we have to do is step out and let God transform us and use us as a transformational agent. And by the way, I got this graph and this concept because when we did this study, the way this all started, Bev and I started with three couples in our home. And we said, God, if we were done and we could only leave this information with three couples to carry on our work, what would we teach them? If we could only teach them a few things, and this is what was birthed. And in that conversation with these three couples, who, by the way, are mighty vessels of God today in their own spheres of influence because of this, it hit us. He that winneth souls is wise. But that's not in the gospel. That's Proverbs. So that's not about converting people. It's about making people's lives better. When I make your life better, I've won your soul. And when I win your soul, you're no longer blinded. So you can see who is behind all this. Scientific. I'll give you some science and we're done. So this is scientific data. If everybody here today goes out and does this and wins one person, the church doubles. That's heavy science. But can you just imagine that? I mean, you're already struggling for parking. But think about it. How cool would it be? Like, we can't have enough services. There's too many people getting saved. We're meeting in parks. We're meeting in parking lots. We have to meet everywhere. We're meeting in homes. We're meeting everywhere. Why? We can't all get in here. You have to get a ticket to go to church. You can't just go when you want to. There's too many of us. That's what happened in the book of Acts. People say, why? I say, why not? All right. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. And boom, boom, bam, bam. Shiki bum bum. There it is. You say, what I need to do? Here's what I'd suggest. I suggest buy a book. If you can't afford to buy one, give it to you. Go home, get you out a sheet of paper. write you down about 4 or 5 circles of people you know who are living on that low level. Might be a neighbor, might be somebody you work with, might be family member, maybe somebody you're in church with. Write them down and pray over it. And say, God, if these are my assignment, let me have a supernatural connection with them in the next few days. And when you see them, say, I can't believe I've run into you because I was in a church service and there's a guy that went to Oxford that lectured and taught me some transformational concepts. I tell you what, why don't you come over to my house? We'll hang out and I'll do the best I can. I got a book and I'll show you what he showed me. And you see what God will do. You see what God will do. And I'm going to tell you what, once it happens for you, you don't want to do nothing. When you see Holy Spirit use you to touch somebody's life and they get transformed, it's over. You're ruined. There ain't nothing like it in the world, I'm telling you. There ain't nothing like it in the world to see God touch somebody and deliver them and help them and touch them and save them and know that somehow you had a piece of that. Can you imagine, will we all get to heaven one day? We get to look around and see people that somehow we had a seed in their life or a touch. Ain't gonna be nothing like that. I gotta tell you one more thing and I'll stop. This is what lit my fire years ago. Bev and I were at SeaWorld. And we were having a great time with our family. This man and his son got on the car, rode on the train with us in. Sit right by me. Holy Spirit said, tell them about me. And I was so afraid I couldn't do it. I just couldn't make myself do it. Thousands of people there. An hour or two later, I'm at Shamu show and hundreds of people sit. And of all places for this man and his son to sit down right beside me. Holy Spirit said, tell them about me. I just was so afraid I couldn't do it. 2 hours later, I'm standing to get a snow cone or something like that. Turn around. There they are. I'm like, couldn't do it. Almost midnight, last train out. We're on it, about to go get in the car, and I'd forgotten about it. Here come two people running to get on the train. Who is it? Man and his son. I looked there, and I knew it was my last chance, and I didn't do it. And they walked off into the dark. It broke my heart. How could I be so timid? Now, you know, religion would say, well, you know, they died and went to hell and you're responsible and all that, right? Well, we know that's not true. Somebody got it. But I made a decision that day. I may mess a bunch of stuff up, but I ain't never doing that again. I ain't never doing it again. I may make a fool out of myself, but I'm not doing that again. They may laugh me out of Cracker Barrel. They may laugh me out of Walmart. But I'm not doing that again. The rest of my life, I'm going to say, God, use me as an agent of transformation to touch people's lives. And I'm asking God to commission you today for this. Not just encourage you. I want Him to commission you so that when you wake up tomorrow, you wake up thinking, all right, I'm going to find a way to do this. I want to step into my identity. I'm going to begin to align with God. I'm going to begin to believe I am the church, not just going to church. And I'm going to start looking for my assignments and stepping in and letting these signs follow me as I make this journey. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, we thank You for our time together. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace that we feel in this room today. We thank You that You are raising up Your church. You said You would build Your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are raising up sons and daughters in the kingdom of God in this hour to answer the cry of the very earth that's groaning, waiting for us to manifest. I thank You that we've entered an Omega time and we're about to pray Omega prayers and we're about to experience You as the Alpha and the Omega. You are the consummation of the ages. We thank You that You are about to consummate Your kingdom in the earth through Your sons and daughters as we step in and step up to, in this season for Your kingdom purposes and Your kingdom plans. First of all, I come against all fear and intimidation. I break the spirit of the fear of man in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of the fear of error. I break the spirit that would try to intimidate us and keep us from walking in our calling as sons and daughters of God. Now I call your spirit to attention in the name of Jesus. Just put your hand on your belly. I call you to attention. I speak to your spirit now in the name of Jesus. I call forth the prophets in the room. According to the day, first day of creation, I call forth the prophets that you have the ability to literally speak life and order into chaos. I speak to the servants in the room that you have the ability to, just like on the second day of creation, the atmosphere was separated in the firmament to cleanse the atmosphere. You have a very powerful spirit to keep your family and your territory clean through your servant spirit. I call forth the teacher in this room. The teachers, you have the ability, like the third day of creation, where God multiplied the seed and the fruit that bared the seed after its kind. In the fourth day, God created the stars and the moon and the sun. That's you exhorters, encouragers. You're the ones that just bring a spirit of encouragement. I call you forth in this hour to take your place in Jesus' name. You givers in the room, that's when He made the fish and the birds. This is the very nurturing mammals of God that know how to nurture their young. I call forth you givers in the name of Jesus to begin to manifest your gifts. I call forth you ruler organizers on day six, where He created man and gave him dominion and authority and told him, be fruitful and multiply and fill the whole earth. And I call you mercy people together in the day seven where God rested. You created people, you worshipers, you artists, those that know how to take the secular and bring, or take the sacred and bring it into the secular. Those that know how to go into the sacred realms and manifest it into the secular realm. We bless your spirit. I bless your spirit today. I nurture your spirit, man, today. I speak to your spirit. I call your spirit to attention. And I cordially invite your soul to step behind your spirit and your body behind your soul. And I talk right to your spirit. I bypass your intellect and I speak directly to your spirit today. And I bless you. I nurture you. I say God smiled the day you got that body because He knew you were going to get an expression in the earth. He blessed every 23 pair of your chromosomes and blessed you with the right mother and father and blessed you with the right entrance into the world, no matter how traumatic it may have been, because He knew you had a destiny. I say you are a word from God. You will not return void. I break all trauma off you that's tried to get you to quit, stop, give up, and back up. And I say in the name of Jesus, there's a finishing anointing on the inside of you. The good work that God started, He's going to finish it on the inside of you. I bless you today. I bless your spirits now in the name of Jesus. I say now, let your spirit reach out and connect to the Holy Spirit and draw out of this atmosphere that's in this room everything you need to step into your future in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through the blood of the Son of God that's paved the way for us to step into this season. I commission you as the ecclesia of God in the earth. You have the keys. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And I say the validation you will walk in is the manifest presence of Jesus and unusual miracles. May the Lord Jesus dance in your house tonight. May the Holy Ghost ride in your car with you on the way home and speak truths to you and inspire you and encourage you. May He open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. And as you take steps of faith, we thank God in advance for the unusual, undeniable miracles that are going to transpire through your life in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. We honor you for it now. In the name of Jesus, for the glory of God. John, it says Jesus said, as God sent me, so now I send you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. So I say today, as God sent Jesus, now Jesus sends you. Receive a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit even now. In the name of Jesus, for the glory of God. Can you just lift your hand and thank the Lord right now for what he's doing in this room? Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we give you glory. Jesus, we give you honor. Jesus, we thank you for what you're shifting now in this territory and in this space. We thank you, Lord, that religion is being moved away and kingdom is coming. We thank you that Herodian spirits are coming down. Pharisaical spirits are being shifted aside and the kingdom is invading even now. In the name of Jesus, for the glory of God. 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 We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor right now for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name. There's a man in the sound booth with your hand up like this. I saw the Spirit of God touch both your knees. He put his hands on both your knees. And I don't know if you've had a problem with your knees or there's been a situation with your knees or it's strengthening feeble knees, but I saw the Lord put both hands on your knees. And the fire of the Holy Spirit is touching you right now. I believe it means two things. It's a strength for your body, but it's also you're a warrior. And there's an anointing on you to intercede in a very powerful way. And on your knees, you will literally see demons shake and tremble in a very powerful way as you release decrees from your knees in this season. You will see the Holy Spirit do significant things in your life. There's a couple right here, a man and a woman. Would you stand up, both of you? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I saw something wrapped around both your bellies, and I saw a birthing coming forth. That there's something that God has put in you that the enemy tried to stop, tried to abort, tried to stop. And you've had seasons where you thought, Lord, will it ever come back? Or did we miss it? Or did we miss out? The Lord says, no, the seed is there. And now you're about to see the full manifestation of that seed that God put in you and promised you that you would have. What God told you with his mouth, you're going to see him do that with your hand, with his hand. And so I bless you now as you birth this next thing that God has for you in this season in a supernatural way. And woman of God, I see health coming to you. There's been an attack on your health and your strength. The enemy has tried to steal your strength. But, oh, I got to put my hand on you. Just step out here. The enemy has tried to steal your strength. But the Holy Spirit is, whoo. Woo! There it is. Ha! Jesus, we thank you for it. From the crown of your head to the bottom of your feet, in Jesus' name. Sir and ma'am, I know you stood up and I was pointing to them, but I like your faith. I like, yes, sir, yes, I want that. Woo! I love that. Would you join her hand? Yes, sir. Father, I bless them in the name of Jesus. Ma'am, I speak into your eyes. I speak into the very eyes, your very eyes at the molecular level that God is doing something in your even very eyes. In your eye, like an eye disease that the Lord is even ministering to you in your eyes that you're going to see very clearly. And man of God, your days are not over. As your days are, so shall your strength be. Some people God calls because of what they do. Others he calls because of who they are. God calls you because of who you are. You're a pillar. You're a strength. Your very character and integrity, by saying nothing, you've got an anointing of presence. You just step into a situation and things calm down. So, Father, I bless them in this season with the anointing of presence. That they don't have to say a word. they can sit quietly and the presence of God on their lives just begins to reorder everything around them in circumstances and situations in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. We bless them in that and we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Woo! These are just some words of knowledge that I love. Kicking up and moving around. Somebody in this section right by here, I was on you earlier and I don't want to lose you. Right in this section here with a diabetes issue, with sugar type problems, right in this lady right here with sunglasses on your head, yeah, just wave your hand like this as a hi so everybody can see it. Yeah, somebody around this lady with sugar issues, where you at? Like sugar fluctuating around this lady right here. Sometimes I miss it, which is fine, but sometimes I don't. Yep, see there? Stand up, ma'am. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's okay to miss it. A wrong prophet's not a false prophet. He's just wrong sometimes. Come here. Thank you, Lord. How good is that? Let your hands off. Touch your Holy Ghost. Thank you for healing her from the crown of her head to the bottom of her feet. While my hands on her, six people in here with debilitating migraines are being healed. There's six people in this, at least in this auditorium right now, with debilitating migraines, if I'm not mistaken, on medicine for it, and you're being healed right now. Jump up right there where you are, wherever you're at. Just jump up, stand up. Somebody beside them, just reach up and touch them. Just reach up and touch them. Father, I thank you right now that the anointed of the Holy Ghost is bringing supernatural deliverance. We break that spirit now in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. And we thank you, Lord, at the molecular level, the Holy Spirit is touching them and shifting them and changing them even now in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. For the glory of God. For the glory of God. Who's with you? You by yourself? You have family? Where are your sons? That's who I'm after. Where are they at? What's their name? Lee and Adam. Isn't that interesting? Thank you, Lord. As soon as I was praying with you, the Lord started moving towards your sons. Lord, I thank you that her sons, we shoot an arrow of deliverance to her sons. And we thank you, Lord, from this meeting today that supernatural things are going to transpire in her son's life. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit now is moving toward her son. And the burden that she has carried over them now is being removed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God is releasing a faith inside of you right now. You see your sons in the future, and you see them a whole lot better than they are right now. They're saved. They're following the Lord. They're following their purpose. They're living in their creative design. Lord, we thank you that that is moving and it's touching her now in the name of Jesus. That faith is moving and flooding her spirit for that now in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a young lady right here. See me pointing at you? Yeah, you. Stand up. This is a wild word. God says you're going places. I don't know where you're going. Huh? I don't know where you're going, but God says you're going places. Get ready. God's about to put you on a fast track. I see God stepping like in the airport. It says clear. You don't have to wait any longer. The season of delay is coming to an end. And your education and everything you need to step in your future, God has already provided for you. He's opening doors that no man can shut. Get ready. They're about to swing open and they're coming suddenly in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Can somebody praise God here for a minute for all he's doing? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I heard something about somebody's pancreas. Something with your pancreas. It's a situation. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's a word about somebody's pancreas. It's not working or functioning properly. Are you in the room? Where are you at? It's right behind me. Yes, come here. I knew that was I was right in the right direction there. What's wrong with that? Yeah. How about that? Huh? Woo! Ah. Woo, Jesus. Thank you for a new pancreas, Jesus. Right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for healing and touching her today in the name of Jesus, for the glory of God. For the glory of God. For the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is a wild word. I saw cards being dealt to you. And it's like the Lord said, you got dealt a bad hand. But God wins with every hand that's dealt. And God's about to do something in your life. He's about to take some difficult things that you've journeyed through, and they're about to bring a harvest for you in this season that you couldn't dream or imagine. Psalm 126 is your portion. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like men that dreamed. Our mouth was filled with laughter, and the people said, God has done great things for them. God says, you're going to have to pinch yourself in the future and say, God, I never thought it could be this good. But I'm telling you, God's about to overwhelm you with His goodness. You're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. God said, get ready. You're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. You're not going to dream about it. You're not going to just believe it. You're going to taste and see that the Lord is good in Jesus' name. Woo!
Oh, yeah!
Ah! Jesus, I'm snotting all over the place now. I'm ready to roll. Isn't it great? I just love this atmosphere. Man, this is what we're walking in, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, oh, memory loss. Jump up. Memory loss. Memory situations. Man, I heard that word as clear as a bell. Memory. God's about to bless. It says the memory of the just shall be blessed. Put your hand on your mind. Father, I thank you right now. I come against every word curse. I come against every vexation of the enemy. I thank you right now at the cellular level in people's brains. I come against all early onset of dementia, any early onset of short-term memory loss. I come against Alzheimer's in the name of Jesus. Father, I received this anointing years ago, and I release it in this place now. I say in the name of Jesus, God begins to restore your very brain stem, brain cells. I prophesy to you that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to come up out of your, literally, right up through your structure. Every 33 of your vertebrae, there's an anointing. There's a Christ oil that's about to be poured out in the very center of your mind and in your brain. And it's about to flow all the way down your skeletal system, all the way back up again, and bring restoration and divine healing now in the name of Jesus. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I decree it now in Jesus' name, and somebody shout, yes! Can we give the Lord a hand of praise in this house today? Woo! Now listen, I know there's so many things I'm not getting to that the Lord's doing. So here's, just before I give it back to the pastor, would you stand up? Would you turn around and find somebody, preferably that you don't know? Just turn around and grab them. Scare them. Grab them. And listen, say something or pray something from the Spirit. Come on, do it. You got it. Just turn around. And it starts like this. Father, bless them. And then whatever comes after that, let the Holy Spirit do it. Just say something like, Father, bless them. And then just start saying something good to them. Just start releasing whatever you hear in your heart to them. Thank you, Jesus. Sarabashe ke barabasa. Bolobo sharamaka sheke teba. Yes, Holy Ghost. Yes, Holy Ghost. Yes, Holy Ghost. Woo! Can you just slip a hand up and thank the Holy Ghost for being with us today? Thank you, Jesus. You are building your ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I know this may be an odd moment for us, but just by the will of God, You never know, do you? Just by the will of God, somebody's here today, you say, Kent Maddox, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never truly just given my life over. Or I have, I'm backslidden, I'm away from God. And I don't want to leave this place without being totally connected, totally surrendered to Him. You're here, you've never accepted Jesus, or you have, but you're backslidden, you're away from God. You say, Kent, I need to connect with Him today before I go. If that's you, slip a hand up high right there where you are. Just wave it at me. Anybody in this room? I'd never like to preach without giving somebody a chance to accept the Lord. If you had a hand up and I didn't see it, I bless you. Or if you didn't, if you see a hand, all right. We're all good. I like that. Got a bunch of believers in the house. Father, I bless Your children. I bless the sons and daughters of God. And we thank You, Lord, that You are moving powerfully in our lives in this season. In the name of Jesus, for the glory of God. Amen. Woo. Feel like the happy song.
That's awesome. Church, we've gotten a new impartation today. And we're not just leaving saying we've had a great service. We got an impartation today. So, Lord, we thank You for the impartation we've received. Help us to live in it and walk it out in Jesus' name. And we want to bless the man of God this morning. We'll have people stationed at the doorways with a basket, and you can give cash and check, make your checks out to Grace House, and we'll take it from there and bless him. You can do it online and through text to giving, but pray and ask the Lord what He would have you to sow in order to bless Pastor Kent today. We want to do that. We want to bless him really, really, really well. Please don't just rush away without spending time in the days to come just marinating on what we've heard here today. We're going to be stronger together because of what we received today. Amen. Our tomorrows are going to be better because of what we received today. So let's lift our hands. Lord, we thank You. We bless You. Thank You so very, very much, Lord, for gracing us with Your presence in this way today. And again, Lord, we pray that You would bless Pastors Kent and Beverly, their congregation, their ministry. And Lord, we're going to remember this day as one of those days that propelled us forward. Thank You that You have been so good to us today. Just begin to thank Him out loud. Thank You, Allah. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Allah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You. In Jesus' name. Now in the name of Jesus, go forth. Change the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Thank You, Jesus.